Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to episode number 62 of the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast 4. Today, Wednesday, June 14th, 2017. I'm your host, Big T, right here with you. And we got a special treat for you tonight. We got a special guest. He's a young up-and-coming pro wrestler here, and I'm very excited to have him on the show and have him talk with you guys. And we got Victor Andrews on the show. What's going on, Victor?
Everything's going all right, brother. How's everything with you?
Everything is great, Victor. I appreciate you accepting the invitation to be here on the show.
Hey, I appreciate you inviting me, brother. I'm always here for the fans and for the podcast. I'll keep everything you guys are doing.
Well, thank you. And this is going to be a fun show, a really fun show. And I'm looking forward to diving into all aspects, of your life and, your times in the pro wrestling business. And why don't we start off with, the early days when you were, a child or a teenager? When did you first come across professional wrestling, and when did the moment strike you, when you finally said to yourself, you know what, this is it. This is what I want to do with the rest of my life. I want to be a professional wrestler. Can you elaborate on that for us?
Yeah, definitely. My mom, obviously introduced me to wrestling. She introduced me, my brothers, and my sister. I'm the oldest of four, and I have two brothers and a sister. She introduced us to wrestling. Her favorite wrestler was Ricky Steamboat and Tito Santana. She always loved those guys. And she introduced us to wrestling, and she would always do things as far as, making it a big event. Like whenever the pay-per-view would come on, whenever the WrestleMania would come on, she would always go out, buy a bunch of snacks, we'd make a whole lot of food, and we all just grab in the living room and watch wrestling. Raw. To, make it fun for us, make it an enjoyment. It's one of the things that we had to enjoy growing up in Brooklyn and the projects of Brownsville, where it's not the best of everything, but my mother made it the best of anything that she can. And, she introduced us to wrestling and watched it all the time. And as I grew, I always felt like I wanted to be a pro wrestler for my time as a kid. My biggest, the guy I always looked up to growing up was always The Undertaker and Shawn Michaels. And I always thought, man, it'd be nice to step in the ring with them, learn from them, do the things that they do. And, I got to the age where I made the decision to do that, but I kind of started out late. I wish I could have started earlier, but, things happen in your life where you don't get the choices. You don't get to make the choices that you thought you would have made as a kid. And I joined, I started training as a professional wrestler, coming out of doing professional boxing, amateur boxing, up in New Jersey. And I started training with Lady Lee. And he was a part of an acting company that I was a part of. He was a manager there, and she introduced me to wrestling. She thought I was doing boxing and a little bit of MMA going there. And she introduced me to the wrestling scene, and I started training there in Union City, New Jersey for wrestling. And then once I moved to North Carolina about a year later, this is 2009, about a year later, I moved back to North Carolina and started training with T.W. Anderson, and then just went on from there. Been in business for about 8 years now.
Wow, 8 years. So you're definitely putting your time in. And, I definitely respect that. And for all the young up-and-coming pro wrestlers that, aspire to be pro wrestlers that might be looking into get into business, around this time, what is some advice that you could give to them as far as, you know, training and earning your stripes and, you know, all that sorts of things?
Well, first and foremost, it's always good to research any training schools and facilities and anybody that's interested in training. You always do your research. Find out if they're credible, where they've been, what they've done, who they were trained by, how many years they've been in the business. And then, like I said, it's always see what they've done in the business to see if they actually have credibility to actually train you the correct way. And once you start training, you always definitely take your time. Don't rush. Wrestling will always be there, so don't try to rush it to become the next best thing or the next big thing, because the minute that you rush to get in the ring, you get hurt someone else. Two broken hands, wrestling with somebody I haven't been in the ring with. Because they were trained correctly, but they never finished their training because they were ready to step out there and start doing on their own. And as a result, guys going out there and hurt a couple of people. So definitely take your time, listen to your trainers, they know what you can do, they know what's best for you. And that's trying to hold you back on anything. You just want to make sure that you're out there doing everything correctly and not out there hurting people or getting hurt yourself. So definitely, you know, just listen to who you train by and definitely do your research and find out who they are and what they've done.
Definitely. That's some good advice there. And I'm sure one thing that a lot of people, I know I'm interested in it, you know, being someone that loves every aspect about the business, and you know, everybody always has an interesting story when it comes to this question. And what I'd like to ask you is, when you stepped in to your training facility for the very first time and you had to take your bumps for the first time and, you know, run the ropes for the first time, you know, do everything, you know, what was it like, and what kind of a grind was it like to go through the, you know, the hardship of training?
The biggest thing for me, and I believe for a lot of people, is just trusting my body. You know, your mind and your body is connected to do a certain thing. Your body, what your mind tells you, I'm not used to falling a certain way. You're not used to just falling on your back or falling flat on your face and believing everything's going to be okay. So the main thing is trusting your body and knowing that your body can handle anything that you put it through, as long as you're in good health. That's the biggest thing. As long as you're in good, great health, good physical shape. Transitioning from becoming a boxer to a wrestler, what's big for me, I always tell people, a wrestler can do a boxer's workout, but a boxer couldn't do a wrestler's workout. Only because in boxing, you're always moving around, you're always throwing those jabs out there, keeping your opponent away from you. But with wrestling, somebody's constantly on top of you, cutting off your airways, you know, trying to put you in different positions and in different submission holds and stuff like that, and you're always trying to find a way out of it. And that was the biggest thing, probably the biggest and the hardest thing for me is transitioning to that aspect and just finding my wind and learning how to breathe and learning how to fall and just trusting my body to do these different things. Because like I said, as a boxer, it was no problem. So I just throw my jabs out there, throw a right cross, and keep guys away from me and knock them out. But with wrestling, you got somebody talking on you. You got to learn how to get out of certain things, how to put people in certain things just to protect yourself and keep yourself out of danger.
Yeah, because with boxing, if I'm not mistaken, that's boxing is a sport where it just takes a lot of, you know, a lot of cardio. It takes some speed, and you need power punches. And with wrestling, you need just like a little bit of everything. You know, you need to know how to defend this or this or this, protect yourself from this move or this move or this move. Like with wrestling, you need to be a jack of all trades, basically.
Definitely.
You know, you go through this vigorous training, and Believe me, I know, because everybody's answer has always been the same, you know, to go through the training, I'm sure it's definitely worth it. And let's fast forward to your first official match. You know, after you went through all the training, took all your bumps and bruises, and did everything that you had to do, and you finally got called on, like, hey, Victor, you're going to be wrestling in a match tonight, and then you know you got to lace up your boots and go out there in front of a crowd for the first time, walk that aisle, stand in that ring, and just take it in. You know, no matter how big or small the crowd is, you know, you just take that in and get in that ring for the first time with all eyes on you. What was that like?
Oh man, it was such an experience. It was big for me because I wasn't even prepared. I was at a wrestling show. I was with my trainer. He was taking me to different shows, getting to know people, getting a feel of how everything works from the inside out. And I didn't even have wrestling gear with me that day. I just happened to be there helping her out with whatever. And I don't even believe I even had wrestling gear yet. I was still waiting for that okay to go ahead and start ordering stuff. And somebody didn't show up. And so I was happy to be there. And the promoter came to me and said, hey, kid, could you work a match for me? And he went to my trainer and asked for permission. And ended up being in a tag match with these guys called the Canucks. Long time ago, 2009. I don't even know if they even tagged together. I think I was Chris Banks. He's really good talent. Lives out in New Jersey. He works his butt off. And with me not even having any gear, Chris Banks actually came to me and said, hey man, I got some extra gear. If you're willing to wear it, I don't really know you, you don't know me, but it's better than walking in with your street clothes and looking like you don't even belong in the ring. And so I actually put on some of his wrestling gear. He gave me a pair of wrestling shoes. A six pads, and I walked in the ring. And instantly, just being in there with the guys, I could tell I was not ready, I was not fully prepared, and that I really need to give a gauge of how much more training I need to do, if I really wanted to continue doing it, and if I really just fit to do it. And it's almost like a drug for wrestlers. Once you get that first in ring time, when that first match, you kind of get hooked. And so once I got in the ring and just listening to the crowd and getting a feel of the highlights, in a sense, I was hooked instantly, and I never stopped and I never looked back.
And, you know, just like you said, with, you know, when you got in there for the first time, you know, you didn't feel ready. You felt that there were things, you know, that you had to do. You know, when you had that feeling, but, you know, mixed with the feeling of that high, you know, like you were just speaking of when you get in that ring, what were the goals that you initially set for yourself after that match to get yourself into the game shape that you want to be in?
But basically, definitely, getting out of the habit of being a boxer. I was still stuck in the habit of being a boxer, you know, kind of dodging the jabs, you know, the punches and strikes and, you know, having a tendency of wanting to put my hands up and defend myself and definitely increasing my cardio. I thought I had the best cardio in the world as a boxer. But once I got in the wrestling ring, I realized it wasn't the same. Because your airway is cut off and the ring's a lot smaller or a lot bigger. And you're doing a whole lot moving as a wrestler than what you do as a boxer. So my main goal there was trying to increase my cardio so that way I would never blow up in the ring, never get tired. I could always finish out a full match to my best ability. And another goal was to learn the ins and outs of every move and the psychology of not what I was doing, but why I was doing it. And that's a big thing for a lot of guys who up and coming. They want to do the high flying spots or the big dives or the moonsaults or the 450s. And they look cool to do, but they haven't got a mindset of what they're doing. Start getting to the mindset of why they're doing. Like, I'm going to give somebody a suplex, then why am I giving them a suplex? Especially if I'm taking a whole lot of heat. Is it because I'm in danger? Is it because I'm trying to get out of danger? Is it because I'm trying to tag my partner if I'm in a tag match? You know, it's more of just the mindset a lot of people have to take. And I didn't learn that in the beginning, in a couple of years, to realize that it's not what I'm doing, but why I'm doing it. Those were the three main goals of what I want to fix. It's my cardio, my abilities, and my psychology.
Now, when you went through all this and, you know, you set out to reach your goals, about how long approximately did it take you, and when did you know when you went out there and had a match to, like, you finally had that feeling of comfort, like, okay, I did it. I know that I'm up to the best of my ability. I'm ready to go. Let's rock and roll with this.
It took me a couple of years, truthfully, only because I was wrestling guys who were at the same level as I was or lower. And I felt as though I was, like, you know, a spectacular talent. I thought I had it all. And it wasn't until I stepped in a ring with C.W. Anderson after training me for a good minute. I stepped in a ring with him at a student versus teacher match. And realized I was not nowhere near where I was supposed to be as a wrestler, or not having the right mindset. I thought I was better than a lot of people, and I was nowhere near what I was thinking. CW showed me that, because my career was just not there. My mindset for him, just keeping up in the ring with him. We're talking like a 25-year veteran who has toured in Japan and, you know, done WWE, ECW, you know, done just about everything, TNA, and I was not at that level. Now, I really thought I was. And I really wanted to show that I was at that level. And it wasn't until after I wrestled him that I got even more serious about my training and more serious about what moves I could and couldn't do, chopping up the things I can do, and learning the things that I couldn't do, and fixing my psychology. And then once I actually got done learning all of that through him, and stepping in the ring with him and Steve Corino, is when I actually felt like, okay, I'm here, I can do these things, I know what I'm doing, I feel comfortable, I feel confident, bring on anybody. And then from there, it just took off from me.
Wow. And that has to feel good, you know, just battling through this and then finally getting that feeling of comfort, you know, after you trained for so long and worked so hard, and just to get that feeling, it had to be absolutely fantastic. Now, going from this point in your career to where you're at now, What happened next going forward? Like, as far as in your career, what companies did you end up going to wrestle for? What were some of your highlight feuds, you know, in certain companies, and some highlight matches that you had? Give us a walk down memory lane of your career now, since it's taken off.
Okay. I would say, well, one of the companies I worked for, I'm actually the heavyweight champion in North Carolina, out of Fayetteville, North Carolina. And I'm the current RWC champion. I've held the No Limits title there. I've held the RWC tag title there, at least with under my tag partner, James Anthony. And one of the highlight matches there, outside of any competition, is the tag match me and James had against a team called Team Fabulous. And the highlight of that match was because Earl Hebner personally requested to come to that show and ref that match for us. And I felt like, wow, you know, I watched this man on TV ref some of the biggest matches in history, in wrestling history, and he requested to my match. And that made me feel like I was somebody to be noticed. I was being noticed by somebody, and I was somebody to be noticed. Another highlight match for me would be one of three at Premier Wrestling Federation down in Hebron, North Carolina, and Steve Carino and Scott Forsyth. Is one of the matches is a tag match between me and James versus the Three Horsemen, Steve Lynch and the Steve Carino. And that was the match I was speaking about earlier that I felt like I made it. I felt like I could step in the ring with anybody and hold my own and show that I belong in matches to that caliber. A good feud that we had with the story book of, the PWF tag team title 3 times. I'm currently the PWF Mid-Atlantic Master Champion. And, you know, just being out there running some guys like Steve Carino, P.W. Anderson, John Schuyler, who works with Ring of Honor, just meeting Bob Evans from kind of Delirious, Shaheem Ali, Steve Berger, Will Ferreira, so many different guys, and then getting the opportunity to go out and bench the boys, Ring of Honor, and working with them. I've done 2 scout camps. I've had a 5-minute spot snatch with Shane Taylor on TV. I've had 2 golf matches in Florida. I've had a chance to not only learn and work beside Jay Lethal, but, you know, to become friends, co-friends with him, and just to contact him anytime I need and ask for advice, send him matches, and get feedback from him. Another highlight would be being able to talk to Tommy Dreamer on a regular and give some advice to him and send matches to him. To throw down at least underground. I'm always able to email him and give some advice to him and send him matches to get feedback. Another company that I've worked for, I just recently had a match with WWE NXT last week. And man, it's not the biggest highlight of my life, not let alone my career, but my life. It's the biggest highlight. I'm still on a high from that. And we did that match 3 weeks ago, and I'm still excited about the fact that I was featured on WWE program. Not only coming in as somebody that nobody knew, just being featured in the match, wasn't have me do. It gave me good spots in the match. It gave me a promo. It gave me pictures on the website. And I felt like, man, I'm really doing something good out there for them to give me all that for somebody who nobody even knows that on that level. So I can go on and on about so many different matches and so much opportunity. You know, stepping in the ring with WWE Hall of Famer, the Rock and Roll Express, Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson, taking the legendary double dropkick and running from them, and meeting Bret Hart for the first time and going to a summit with him and learning from him and things like that. So many different things, man. I'm just blessed to be able to keep doing this and doing this for them. On a level that I'm at now.
It definitely sounds like, Victor, that, you know, all the work that you put in and everything that you went through, it's really paying off for you. And, you know, you're truly blessed to be in the position, you know, that you're in. I mean, you know, 8 years in to accomplish what you've accomplished to this point. I mean, that's, you really do have a good resume and, you know, I want to go through, Ring of Honor for a little bit. You know, I've interviewed a few guys from Ring of Honor. I've gotten to interview, Beer City Bruiser, Matt Winchester, Shaheem Ali, Shane Taylor, and, you know, I've gotten to talk to a few guys from there, and, Ring of Honor, I gotta say, cause I've watched them many times, and honestly, with their product, I've never really had a bad thing to say about it, because Ring of Honor is exactly what they say they are, which is really the best wrestling on the planet, and, you know, I'm always impressed with the product that they put out, and how did it feel for you, you know, to get in there and kind of feel like, kind of get their feel for how they do business?
Man, it's an experience. Everything I've ever done has been a spectacular experience. The room is so, it's one of the coolest locker rooms out there. Everybody's very welcoming. They're willing to offer advice. I was able to become good friends with Jay Lethal and talk to him to get him advice to him. Anybody on the roster is willing to help out. I call him personally. I had chances to cut his thumb there and hang out with him at his home. He's always been, you know, a good mentor or a good big brother to me. And he's helping out and giving different advice on life, wrestling, you know, personally. I have no bad words to say about anybody on Ring of Honor, truthfully, because everybody has always been, you know, very supportive of everything. Me and my partner, we would go out there, different shows, and just show up and help with stuff, ring crew. Set the ring, set up the equipment, put down the ring after the show, and all the equipment on our own dime. Don't ask anybody for anything. And it wasn't until, you know, we've done that for a good while. We did that for about, I want to say about 2 years. Just showing up and just helping out. Whenever we were able to, we would get in the ring and bump around with some of the guys and just do some good things there, different things, learn different ways to do things, more things, so many different ways on how to give and take an arm drag. Bob Evans is always willing to step in the ring too and turn around and just move around and show you different ways to do things and show you, you know, different movesets and stuff like that. A lot of guys from Japan is willing to get in the ring with you and, you know, just kind of bump around and move around with you and show you things that they've learned and offer their advice. And I had the opportunity to cut hair every now and then, you know, at the side gig. And I had the opportunity to cut Steve Cleaner's hair for that match we had with DJ Whitmore. And he needed me to touch him up before the match. So we were at the show, and I started touching him up, and then Kevin Sullivan just walked up to me and said, "Hey man, could you cut my hair as well?" I said, "Sure, you know, any problem, no problem at all." And he sat down in the chair, and I cut his hair, and it was a bunch of guys who just cut right on my fingers. ACH, Shaheem Ali, Gio, so many guys, and someone said, "Hey man, do you mind, you know, touching me up? You know, what you charging?" I'm like, "I'm not charging anything. I'm just trying to help the boys out." And one of the PAs told me what I was doing and walked up to me and said, "Hey man, you mind giving me a little touch up?" And I was like, "Sure." And he said, "How much did you charge?" And I said, "Max." And right then and there, that's when we got our match with Shane Taylor and Keith Lee. He was being backstage, cutting guys' hair and just helping out and just doing whatever I was needed of me and just offering different services that I had that nobody else could offer. And from there, you know, just, you know, building a good relationship with everybody there. Kenny King is another guy who's real good. Jack Titus, he's real cool. I mean, everybody on the roster is very cool. You know, like I said, offer advice, Mr. Danny, real good guy to always think about. And, you know, just doing different things, so. You know, Ring of Honor's crew and their whole entire package of a company is definitely worth being into and getting some interest into.
And you know what's amazing, Victor? No matter how many Ring of Honor stars that I've talked to. It seems like you guys all have one thing in common, and that locker room sounds like one big happy family over there, you know? It's like, I wish I could go in there and hang out with the Ring of Honor locker room, you know, just by the way I hear everybody talk about it. It sounds like a magical place.
Yeah, it really is. I mean, like I said, a lot of the guys, they once they get to know you and see you on a regular basis, they're sitting sit chat with you, you know, and offering you to come hang out after the show, grab a bite to eat, things like that. We all stay in the same hotel. We kind of go in each other's room and sit back and watch TV or just play video games and just shoot the breeze. So yeah, it is definitely like a big family. And that's one of the things that's missing in theaters is that family feel where nobody's trying to outdo the other person or try to step over somebody else just to get ahead. Everybody's willing to push the other one because Kenny King said it best. I want you to come out here and do better than me and come out here and try to take my job because if you're willing to try to take my job and you can push so hard to the point where you can't take my job, that makes me work even more harder to keep it. And it's almost like a push competition thing. Not a competition to where I'm going to try to be better than you. It's a competition where I want to push you to the point to be better than me so I can be better than what I am.
That is, that's 100% right, you know, and a lot of locker rooms, you know, they're out to take, you know, one another's spot, but yeah, Ring of Honor, exactly, I get the exact vibe that you just told me. They don't, they're not gonna step on one of the boys' toes, you know, if one of the boys is excelling over there. They're happy for them. They're not going to make it a toxic work environment just because one is ahead of the other. And you know what? That's probably why everybody in Ring of Honor talks so highly of the locker room and everybody's so happy and everybody gets along because they just make it a family environment rather than like a business environment.
Yeah, exactly.
And, I wish Ring of Honor all the success. And, now I'd like to move ahead and ask you, did you ever have any matches with, TNA Impact Wrestling at all?
Not yet. I've actually been in talks with Jeff Jarrett every now and again. I've always seen him through my matches. And hopefully that now that they're going on the road, I wouldn't be able to gain an opportunity to work with them. I've also been talking to, Stephen Helm, who grew up where I used to live, and just talking to him and learning just against him and sending him like my matches and things like that. And these are also great ways for me to kind of get my foot in the door with TNA and just see what could happen from there.
And you know what, Victor, I hope you do get that shot. You know, I really hope you do get that shot. I'd love to turn on Impact one of these nights and see you on the television set.
So, no, thank you, bro. I really appreciate that.
I definitely wish you the best of luck in that venture. And also, New Japan. Has New Japan ever been a thought in your mind as of yet? Because some guys I've talked to are very intrigued to go to New Japan. You know, some guys kind of have their career points on where they wanted to go mapped out, you know, where they want to stay here and work in ROH or, you know, try to work for WWE. Is New Japan something that you think that you would explore if you got the call from them?
Brother, if I can sit there, I'm going. That's my mindset. If I can get to Japan, if I can get to the UK, China, Africa, if they got wrestling on the moon, I'll go on my space man suit to go up there and learn from the guys on the moon. That's my mindset is always go and learn every and anything you can and use it to the best of your ability. So yes, definitely. New Japan, I've had 01 the day which was prominent. I've had tryouts for 01. I've had a small tryout for New Japan with a company here in the U.S. I've spoken with Steve Carino about chances going over to Japan. I've spoken to PW Anderson about ways to try to get over there. So definitely, and I hope they're listening. If you guys are listening, Mr. Andrews is ready to come to Japan. So don't think that I'm just sitting in the U.S. just watching TV and hoping and wishing. I'll do whatever it takes to go out there. So any wrestling company out there, Mr. Andrews is ready to travel. I am willing and ready to travel. And I'm not hard to reach. So you call me, email me, text me, just smoke with me. I'm ready to go, brother.
I gotta give you a little bit of applause there, Victor. Amen, brother. You know what? If it's wrestling, you go to it. And I hope that anybody listening that's involved with the wrestling business is listening to this and taking Victor's word seriously, because you hear passion from all sorts of guys in this business. And I'll tell you, Victor, just to lay it out on the line the way that he did right now at this moment, he's letting all of you know, indie companies, pro companies, doesn't matter. You're in the wrestling business. Victor Andrews is ready to go. And let me tell you something. AIW in Cleveland, out here, hit up Victor Andrews because you know, in the Cleveland area, Victor, AIW Wrestling, their WrestleMania, show is coming up called Absolution. It's like in 6 weeks. And, that's like the indie promotion, you know, that I follow around here, Cleveland, Ohio, that sort of area. And, yeah, you know what? Hopefully they would even get you in here because they're a very solid company. That's where, Johnny Gargano came from, as a matter of fact.
Okay.
Johnny Gargano came from there, and Seth Rollins was also in there. Daniel Bryan was in there. There was a lot of talent that passed through the doors. So, and I've had a couple people from AIW on here. So if any of the guys are listening, from any pro company or even, hey, AIW guys, if you're listening to me, hit up Victor Andrews because this is a guy that's ready to go. And, Victor, I definitely want to touch on a couple more things. If you could walk us through, you know, how things went, with NXT, because I actually, you know, did see the video highlights, you know, of you on NXT. I saw the show and, you know, I'm just curious, man. You know, did you go for a WWE tryout and they pulled you in for that show? And, you know, how are things going? Are you on the verge of being signed by NXT?
Man, I'm planning every single second. I was just planning while you were talking. it's going to happen. Because, let me tell you, being a part of any wrestling company, whether it's indie, big league, TNA, you know, youth underground, whatever, being a part of any kind of wrestling company, any prominent and incredible. Let me say that. A lot of people out there just run shows which should not be run shows. An incredible wrestling company that you can be a part of is the best and most honorable experience that you could ever have. Wrestling is the most exciting and it's God-blessed sport there is. And I give anybody the opportunity to that fact. You can watch basketball, you can watch football, hockey, whatever. But wrestling is it. You can never take any credit from wrestling. You can say whatever you want about it, but you can never take the credit of the professionalism and the hard work and just everything that wrestling does to you when you watch it. You cannot take that credit from it. When I went down, when I got contracted for NXT, I haven't done any type of tryouts with WWE. Only things I can say that I have done is a tryout with Evolve, who is affiliated with WWE and a smaller scale or like an indie scale. And I met with Norman Smiley at a tryout seminar. So that could be ways that I've had little ways to get in there. I also have a WWE recruit profile. And I always keep that updated. And I know a couple of coaches there. And when I got contacted to, and before I say this, just say that the when you get the call, you want to be ready. Because the worst excuse to give is I wasn't ready. And the reason I say that is because when I got the email saying, hey, I need a bio, it took me 2 minutes to grab my bio that I have already written and sitting and just waiting for any time to get contacted by any promotion. Hey, I need a bio to send to a promoter or a manager or anything or a booker to get you put on the show. I have a resume together, I have my own website, I have my own mobile app, I have any and everything that's needed to showcase me and to promote me. When I got contacted to send in the bio, it took me 2 minutes to send it in. It took 4 minutes after that to get a reply saying, look out for email from this casting agent for NXT. The very next day, I got my email saying we would like to invite you down as an extra for NXT coach. And it was 3 weeks out. I had to go and get a physical done, and I had to go get blood work done. I had to have that all sent in to them before I could even take, before I can gas up my car and drive down to Fort Hill in Orlando. And that had to be sent to them within a week of the show, of the day. Sent all my stuff in. I drove down to Full Sail. Me and a friend of mine, Sean Dudley, we drove down to Orlando and we stayed overnight. And we went up to Full Sail. And I walked in with no expectations. Anywhere I go, any opportunity I get, I go in with no expectations. It makes it that much more of a blessing than actually receive them. And the casting agent walked out with me and five other extras, and he walked out and said, good news, everybody will be working on. And like I said, I worked for Steve Corino and his promotion down in Uber, PWS. And he was there and he walked up to me and said, Victor, you're with me tonight. And I said, okay, no problem. And he came to me, he said, you're going to be in a match with Lars Sullivan and Kevin McKinney. And I said, okay, cool. And I've been watching, I always watch NXT programming, so I've been following the story that they're doing with Lars, that every time, you know, he has a tag partner, his tag partner gets beat up and loses the match, because Lars never gets in the ring. And once the match is over, he comes in, he beats the crap out of his partner. And so my mindset was, okay, I'm doing a ring, bump around for the guy. You know, make the guy look good, and then Lars is going to come in and beat me up. Before I even walked to the building to step in the ring, two production assistants came to me and said, we need a plumber. And my mindset thinking, you know, nobody knows me. They're not really going to get anything. So I'm thinking, Lars is going to be doing his promo. He's going to be saying something. I just have to be gently walking by. He grabs me, throws me on his tag partner, and pulls me to the ring. My mindset. Thinking creatively, because I've written, you know, movies and films and scripts and things like that. Thinking creatively, that's what we want to have. Not realizing that when they said they need a promo, they were talking directly to me. And they need a promo for me. That took me from cloud nine to cloud 9,000.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was like, okay, so not only am I in a tag match on live TV, but you also want me to do a promo? Not a problem. I do whatever you need. Who am I to argue? So we went to the ring, and they explained to me what we'll be doing as far as the match. I had no idea that I was going to get some offense and be doing as much as I did during that match before getting to Orlando. So not only did I get that offense as to somebody that nobody knows, not only did I get a promo as somebody who nobody knows, but I went out there and did everything they needed. I worked my butt off, I bumped my butt off, and I did it correctly. I did not have to do anything as far as changing the camera angles and, you know, telling me to work a certain way so they can see my face in the camera. Like, I found the hard cam, I found my camera, worked my angles. That way, everything could be seen that, okay, this dude is really in here, getting his butt kicked by these two large guys in heavy machines. And then, you know, after that was done, the Lars did the thing, and then, you know, that was it. And then just you go backstage and to be looked at and to hear you are awesome, kid. And that was it. No, hey, you need to work on this, hey, you need to fix this, and I suggest you go back and learn how to do this. And you are awesome. And that was it. And I was, and for the rest of the night, I felt like somebody was going to come up to me and say, we were messing with you, you screwed up, you did this, you did this wrong, and you horrible, da da da. And I sat and waited with anticipation to be told that I had things I needed to work on. And it was nothing. It was just, you are awesome. And that's why I'm praying and I'm hoping and I know that in God's will, I'll be invited back down to Hotel and you will start off Mr. Everything, Mr. Andrews on NXT TV.
That would be absolutely incredible. And I can't even tell you just listening to that story that you just told. It's a feel-good story. It really is, you know, like just hearing this journey and, you know, then it turns out they want you to cut a promo. You do that. You go out there. You do your job. And then just to be told you were awesome, kid, and for them to actually mean it, and you didn't have to get critiqued or nothing. You know what? That's how you know you did good work. And I can't help it, man. I'm sitting here right now with just a smile on my face. I mean, just to hear that, that's a feel-good story, I think, that can make any professional wrestling enthusiast smile.
Thank you, brother. I really appreciate that.
And trust me, man, I wish you nothing but the best. Nothing but the best at all. It, you know, I just, it would be awesome. It would be awesome to see you get called back and, you know, I'm going to be praying along with you. Now.
Hey, I need as many prayers as I can get. Everybody that's listening right now, before you go into bed, you like all holy you say, take your vitamins, say your prayers, and include Victor Andrews' name in there, because we need to make this happen. Let's make Victor Andrews an NXT match.
Yeah, we gotta make this happen, and you'll have extra prayers coming your way from me, and I gotta tell you, man, you know, I'm thinking of a couple more questions that I do have for you. One would be, I meant to ask this earlier, but it kind of flew over my head. But I did want to ask you, when you won championship gold for the first time, was it everything that you expected it to be, winning a title, or was the feeling just much more overwhelming? How did it feel to finally hold championship pro wrestling gold in your hand?
Man, it was an experience I can never forget. I stepped in the ring, it was in, Grand North Carolina at New School Wrestling. And it was for the NSW New School Wrestling, and I was fighting against, a guy named Ooga Booga, and the other guy was, oh my goodness, he's gonna beat me up if he sees me, I can't remember his last name, but, Lou Marconi, Lou Marconi, I love you, Lou. It was a triple threat with those two guys, and these were legit heavyweights. Like, I was only wrestling at 160 pounds, and these guys were 220 to 275, close to 300 pounds. And it's a triple threat match. And when I got the word that I was winning the belt that night, I didn't know what to do. I usually don't get nervous, but I think nerves took over me that day, that night, because not only am I stepping in the ring for these two guys who've been in the ring for 16 years or two, and Lou Marconi was the champion at the time, but I'm also taking over as the top guy in the company. And it was a little, it could have been overwhelming if I wasn't fully prepared mentally. I think mentally, when somebody wins a belt, it becomes overwhelming when they're not mentally ready for it. They don't realize everything that comes with holding a title for a company. Because you not only represent yourself, you not only represent that title as a company now, and everybody within it. You represent that promoter, you represent the worker, you represent past champions, and you represent guys that you step in the ring with, keep trying to have that fight, and you represent the guys who are going to follow behind you. One of the greatest things, it wasn't until recently when I realized, and I tell guys a lot now, that when you become champion, it's not only about you, it's about the guys you step in the ring with as well. And everybody that's on the top there has to think the same way. Because it's not just, right now, I'm the RWC champion. I'm not only the RWC champion. Everybody on that roster is currently RWC champion. And the reason I say that is because every time you step in the ring with me, you have to perform to the ability and to the level that shows why I am the RWC. And I have to do the same. I can't just step in the ring with somebody who's 2 months in and it looks like I had no business being in the ring with them, they had no business being with me. Or it makes it look like I got no business being a champion, wrestling like that, or wrestling guys like that. So everybody has to step up their game when it comes to who is the next champion of a company. Because everyone represents that title, because not only do you have to make me look good, I have to make you look good. And we both have to compliment each other to where that title looks better than everybody that's involved in the match. Because you have to remember, it's not about you, it's not about the ref, it's not about your opponent, it's about that ring and that championship in those fans. And you have to represent yourself, the company, the ring, the title, everything that you do to the best of your ability, so that way people can respect you to the highest quality. Because anybody feels like they can be a pro wrestler, well, we have to put ourselves in a certain standard and a certain pedestal to show that not anybody can do it. Anybody can do whatever they want, but not just anybody. can do this. So first time I actually became champion, I was really excited. I didn't know what to do. I went home and I laid next to the pot. I probably laid next to it and just looked at it for a little while.
I'll tell you what, Victor, it's championships, being champion, you're 100% right. It's a tremendous responsibility because it's like, it's just like with any big show, you know, it's like when I went to see, I'm trying to use a good example here. Like when I went to see WrestleMania 29, when I went to New York, because I've been to 7 straight WrestleManias now, and I want to work on 8. I want to get to New Orleans, but I'll use WrestleMania 29 as an example. You know, everybody in New York that weekend, the eyes of the world were on John Cena and The Rock in that championship belt. Will The Rock remain champion? Will Cena get his redemption? You know, everybody bought their tickets to see that. The whole show was built around that championship match. And, you know, it's exactly like you said, you know, you have to go out there as champ. You gotta make your opponent look good. You gotta make your company look good. And, you know, not only that, you got your whole company on your back. You got that belt on your shoulder or around your waist. The company follows along with you. And, I can imagine that it's gotta be a huge, huge responsibility.
Yeah, it definitely is. It definitely is. I said, you're not only part of the head of the company, you got everyone in it on your back. That's perfect with yourself as well as everyone there. And not only that, you also got to continue to represent the schools that you train at and your training. Now, everything reflects on everything you've done and that they do as far as the training. So, you know, you go out there. I tell guys all the time, the biggest thing that you do in wrestling, probably people will know. The minute you mess up, the whole world will know. And you don't want stuff like that to fall back on your training.
Definitely 100% right. And, you know, that was a fantastic story about, you know, what it's like to be champ in the wrestling business. And, I definitely appreciate that. Now I want to have a little bit of fun since we're getting near the end of the interview. Now I want to have a little bit of fun. This is like a two-part question, unless the person, you know, unless the overall person that you really want, you know, ends up, if they're still active, then you'll answer it in one shot. But this could be a two-part question, depending on how you'll hear me out here. If you had to choose one opponent, alive or dead, or retired, you know, for a dream match, who would it be? And the second part of that question is, if you had to choose anybody to face on any active roster in any professional wrestling company today, who would it be?
I've always wanted to have an opportunity to step in the ring with the Undertaker. I mean, he's iconic. And he's from the infant walking in to the infant walking out. Makes you think about every little thing that you're prepared to do. Another guy who just there still would be able to go. And man, it's phenomenally the way he moves, his mindset, his psychology, everything that he's ever done, makes you want to be better. Each time that you just watch him, makes you want to be better than me. And we question again?
The second part of the question is, if you had to choose anybody from any pro wrestling company in the world that is active right now, that is an active performer, who would you choose to face?
I'm more about testing myself and my abilities, so I want to step in the ring with guys like Kenny Omega.
Wow.
I want to step in the ring with guys like Zach Sabre Jr. I want to get in the ring with Tyler Bates, Pete Dunne. I want to face guys like Jay Lethal and Christopher Ben. I'm all about the small fries too. I'll step in the ring with anybody, but I'm all about seeing what I can do, where I'm at my level and where I need to be, to work on what I need to see, how good is my cardio. So I'm all about testing myself and my ability. So I always reach out for the ones that are not the ones that's most talked about, but the ones that I've watched and I'm starting to go, yeah, that'll be a challenge for me. And I'm all about stepping up to the top. I don't want to be the best in the world. I want to be the guy that beats the best.
I got you, man. That is perfect. That is perfect. You know what? I never heard anybody use that line before, but I got to tell you, man, it's a great one. It's a great one. I got to commend you for that, and it makes total sense. I don't want to be the best in the world. I want to be the guy that beats the best. Awesome. Awesome, man.
Thank you so much. And I always tell promoters all the time, you know, if you got your best guy, put him in the ring with me. I won't try to be better than him, but I'll make him doubt himself.
Yeah. And you know what? It would make for a great story to be told in a wrestling ring. No doubt. Now, since we're at the end, a final question for you, Victor. With everything that you've been through, with every obstacle that you've overcome, with the goals that you have in the pro wrestling business today, even with, even the dream matches that you want to have, at this stage in your career, if you had to choose, you know, the end result, like the main goal, the end game, you know, the main goal in your career as to where it stands and, you know, what you want it to be, what is your main goal that you want out of all this hard work that you are putting in?
My main goal, as far as wrestling, I don't want to be a household name. I want to be a worldwide figure. Household names circulate here and there, and they get lost to worldwide figures. We're held to a higher standard, and let's carry yourself to a higher standard. I'm all about that higher standard. So my main goal is being a worldwide figure and being recognized not only with professional wrestling and what I do in the ring, but everything that I do outside of it. I want to be recognized for bullying and cyberbullying. I want to be recognized for Mr. Rich Foundation. I want to be recognized for building up communities and doing, you know, like the product that stands for broken down communities and getting kids off the streets and killing the disease called homeless. To me, it's a disease now. It's been long, so long. It's now a disease. It can be classified as a disease. I want to be worldwide known for doing so much in this world. I want to be the Michael Jackson of professional wrestling. That's just it. That's sums it, everything I'm going to say sums it up right there. I want to be the Michael Jackson of professional life. I want to be that guy who don't even need an interview. I can walk out on stage and the entire arena goes crazy before my music even comes on. I want to be that guy.
So basically, you want to be the king of pro wrestling, man. You want to be the king of pro wrestling.
Let's do it. Let's do it. The king of pro wrestling. Hey, we have the king of pop. We got the king of R&B. Let me be the king of pro wrestling.
And you know what? There's not a king of pro wrestling crowned yet. You know what? That can be your crown, Victor.
Look, don't get me too hype, man. It's 10 o'clock at night, man. I get so hype, I want to go to sleep. Then when I'm going outside looking for my crown. I start knocking on wrestling promotion's door. Like, hey, you guys got a crown in here? No? I move on.
Well, hey, if I ever see you on TV and you started King of Pro Wrestling gimmick and it really does come to fruition, I'll be like, man, I remember where I was at this moment when we were talking about this. But yeah, you know what? There's been there's been King of the Rings, there's been Jerry the King Lawler, but the funny thing is all these kings that have been in the wrestling business, nobody's ever walked out to the ring and has been called, well, here's the king of pro wrestling. You know what, Victor, everything you described that you want to be, it fits in that character right there. The first ever king of pro wrestling.
That is true. You know what? I'm going to reach for it. Just because we talked about it, I'm going to reach for it. And I'm going to send back to this very day, and I'm going to say that my good friend, Todd Tiller, gave me this mindset, this goal to be the king of pro wrestling. You know what? I'm going to give him a call right now, and we're going to interview on his radio station that is being heard worldwide. Because when we finish this podcast interview tonight, by the time 5 years, I get 5 to 10 years, you won't have a podcast, you will have a worldwide radio station. Okay? And I'm going to come to your radio station, Todd, and I'm going to say, hey, man, it's been a while. How's the family? How's everything going? Hey, how's that new car working? Did you bought a car 2 months ago? Is it good on electricity? Because by that time, we won't be using gas anymore. Is it good on electricity? How's the futons working on in your car, in the mirror, all that good stuff? And we're going to sit back and we're going to think about this day, June 14, 2017, on some Wednesday night when we said Mr. Everything, Victor Andrews, will become the king of pro wrestling. And we're going to laugh for a good 2 minutes. This hard belly, tears coming out of our eyes, laughing. Because we're going to make that happen.
Yeah, that day's going to come. That day's got to come, man. It's already got me hyped for the future. And it actually leads me into my last question. I'm not talking, because we already know what the future for Mr. Everything Victor Andrews holds, alright? He's gonna be the king of pro wrestling, but let's talk the near future. Let's talk about the rest of 2017 and going on into 2018. What does the near future hold for Victor Andrews at this moment?
As of this moment in the near future, I have a couple of matches coming up with different promotions. I'm booked up for the rest of the year pretty much. I'm a weekend. I'm trying to fix it to where I can start working on the week and just making this my only source of income. But I'm going to be working hard and diligently to not only better myself, but better everyone around, all of my peers, everybody that I spent money with, anybody's locker room that I stepped into, anybody's freshman in school that I have an opportunity to venture out to and learn and teach things that I may have learned in my own travels. That is my goal for the near future, as well as I'm going for my bachelor's degree in sports medicine. And this August, I just graduated from community college and I'm going to Spartan University and, going out there to get a sports medicine degree. And the mindset with getting that degree is I'm in the field of sports, professional wrestling. So why not have something that can put to the table? If I do get that call with WWE and I get out there and I showcase my skills as a professional wrestler and a career with them, I can also have that backbone to where I can say I'm also, certified as a sports technician or a physical therapist or, anything within the sports medicine field, as well as, touch there. So I can be that guy who can catch and get you a nice fist up and make you look good for TV, take you to the ring, beat you up, break something on you, take you to the back, pick you up, and send you on your way and make my money three different ways.
Hey, and that goes right back to earlier when I was talking about when we were talking about the differences of boxing and wrestling. Like with wrestling, you got to be the jack of all trades. Now you're talking about being in the wrestling business and going into sports medicine and taking someone out, having a match with them, something gets broken on him, you make him look good in the ring, but then you take him to the back and you fix him right up. You're legit gonna be the jack of all trades, my friend.
Hey, I can't be Mr. Everything. I'm actually doing everything.
There you go, yeah, see? You gotta be able to do everything, man. And you know what? You got your eyes set on it. You got your eyes set on the prize. And, I'll tell you, with the goals that you have set for yourself, I really think you got a bright future ahead of you. I really think the sky's the limit, especially when you told me about what happened with NXT and how they told you you're awesome and nobody came up to you and tried to do, say, well, you did this wrong or did this wrong. You did everything right. And, I got to tell you, I think your stock right now is going to continue to rise, by the way it sounds to me. And believe me, I'm not just saying that because we had a good time right here. I'm saying that because I really mean it. I always listen to when one of the guys that I'm interviewing, they have a story and they talk about it. And just by the way it lined up and just by the reaction that you got from people, in NXT and what a great job you did, I don't see how your stock's not going to rise.
Hey, I really appreciate that. I truly do.
Because you know what? If you're going to impress someone, even though it's NXT, man, even though it's NXT, it's still under that WWE umbrella. As hard as those higher ups are in that company on some of the guys, I gotta tell you, man, for you to make some higher ups happy in the WWE, you're doing something right.
And that's what I've been hearing for the last 2 weeks, and I'm just like, I'm sitting here, and all I can say, and I say it every time, is I'm trying. That's all I can do, and that's all any of us can do is just try, and you see what happens in the result, and how you come back from whatever result you get is what truly defines you. you, if I get a negative result and I just give up, then I never won it in the first place. If I give a positive result and I think I got a big head because, you know, from the positive stem for me, I never won it in the first place. So negative or positive, you still got to be humble. You still got to be hungry and willing to grind and go out there and do what's asked of you and do what's needed to make these things happen for you, because somebody's going to just generally give it to you. You got to have something. You got to give them. You got to give them more than just a pretty face and a smile.
Oh yeah, that's for sure. And you know what? You go out there and you know what? You gave them everything you had. You gave them a promo. I'm sure you went out there and you gave them a good look. You did your segment the way you were supposed to, and it seems like you passed the test with flying colors. And I'll tell you, that was one of the most feel-good stories I've heard on all the interviews, just your whole experience going down there. And I definitely wish you all the success in the world off this. Become the king of pro wrestling.
It's on my calendar of list of things to do.
Perfect. All right, Victor. Now, to close everything out here, I'm going to let you have the floor. And anything that you want to promote, any upcoming shows, matches, websites, social media, anything that you want to promote, take as long as you need and promote whatever you like, and I'm going to give you the floor right now to do that. So go right ahead, brother.
Well, first and foremost, what I like to do sometimes is give whatever podcast or radio interview that I'm doing, I like to give them a sound bite. So, ladies and gentlemen, turn your radios up. Turn your TVs up. Turn up your internet. You are on with Big T. It's on the ring. Guys, you have no idea what you're getting yourself into, because you're in for a great show. Now, what you're listening to right now is Mr. Everything Victor Andrews, and I want you guys to know that you can reach me, find me, connect with me in several different ways. You can find me on Facebook, Victor Andrews. You can find me on my fan page, Mr. Everything Victor Andrews. You can find me on my website, www.thevictorandrews.com. Or you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat at @I'm_Mr. Everything. That I am the little line at the bottom, Mr. Everything, MREVRYTHING. And you can also download my mobile app at reverbnation.com and just put in the search Victor Andrews, and you can keep up with all the content as far as new music. You can download my entrance music. It's custom made. You don't have to worry about any copyright infringement when you put it on YouTube or download it. You can keep up with new pictures that I put up. You can keep up with any shows that I'll be at. And you guys can just keep up with me all together. And I want to thank you, Big T, my man. I feel like this wasn't an interview. I felt like we were just talking to my brother and just catching up with old times. So I want to thank you. I appreciate you for having me on. It was a great show, a great catching up with family. That's what I feel. And I was catching up with family. You are definitely family of mine, bro.
And I really appreciate that, Victor. You know, the funny thing is, well, you know, until tonight, we never even talked to each other on the phone. You know, I just messaged you on Facebook, and, you know, it's awesome that we were able to click and have such a fun time and give a great show to the fans. And, you know, I'm sure this is how I work here on the podcast, and I just want to tell you and just want to run it by you. You know, everybody that I've ever had on, I always tell them the same thing. I'm not one of these podcasters, you know, that pretty much have you, you know, I have you on and then I, you know, I toss you to the side and forget about you. I'm not like that. I really want to build a nice, close, knit community here for this podcast. And, you know, maybe even have some people that are a little bit steady, you know, to this podcast. And what I wanted to ask you is, if you would like to do it, I would definitely love to have you back maybe at the end of this year to talk about the rest of your 2017 and how things are going on your journey. Like, just, you know, check in with you, see how everything's going. You know, give a podcast update for, you know, for the fans. We could basically walk through your journey, you know, on your journey through this road of professional wrestling. And, if you'd like to come back on, I'd love to have you.
I would love that. And in fact, by the time happens, I'm going to have some questions for you and I'm going to interview you. And we're going to have a long, drug out, catch up family time, buddy. It's going to be a family reunion, man. And I'll be honored and blessed to be on the show.
Sounds perfect. I look forward to having you on sometime again soon. And, Victor, what I want to tell you is I speak for myself here, but I'm sure I'm speaking for other fans. You know, the professional wrestling business is it's a hard business, you know. I've talked to many people that have gone through the daily grind, many people that have had to go through the sacrifice, you know, to be away from their family and the long hours on the road and the long hours away from home. And, you know, I just want to let you know that sacrifice that you make for my entertainment and for everybody else's entertainment, it doesn't go unappreciated. Definitely what I want to say to you here right now is thank you for your contribution to the pro wrestling business. And I really appreciate what you do because I know all those hours away from family and, you know, just the time that you're away and the sacrifices that you make. I know that I'm sure it's got to be very challenging and very difficult at times, even though you're living your dream, you know, with something that you want more than anything else in the world, but I know at times it's got to be difficult, and I just want to let you know that, you know, there's a fan out here like me, and I'm sure my fans that are listening, that I just want to say thank you for everything that you do and your sacrifices to keep us happy for our entertainment are definitely appreciated.
No problem, bud. Thank you so much.
No problem, Victor. And you got any last words that you want to say to the fans before I close us out here?
If you want to purchase any of my t-shirts, go to prowrestlingtees.com and search Victor Andrews and buy every shirt that you can get. Whatever you support, I don't want to take anybody's money from their bills, but buy my shirt. Buy my shirt. Every shirt.
You heard Victor. Go and buy his shirt. Make sure you send him some prayers that he gets the answer that he's looking for from WWE and NXT. And check out his website. Follow him on social media. Do all that. Victor, hang on the line, please, while I sign off with the live audience. And I'll be back with you in just 1 minute, okay?
All right.
And ladies and gentlemen, to all of you listening, I just want to say again, thank you to Victor Andrews for being here tonight. It definitely was a great interview. I had an awesome time, and Victor's a phenomenal guest, and I look forward to having him back on the show very soon. And guys, make sure that, like I said, buy Victor's shirt, send him extra prayers tonight, that he gets the answer he's looking for from NXT and WWE, and follow him on social media, check out the website, do whatever you gotta do to keep in touch and support Victor here, because he's an awesome, awesome guy, and we want to thank him for being on the show. And ladies and gentlemen, This has been episode number 62 of the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast for Wednesday, June 14, 2017. And I will be back with you for another episode of the podcast. Tomorrow night will be episode number 63. So come here and join me then. And we will talk to you tomorrow night. Have a great night, everybody. You take care, and I love you all. Good night, everybody. And by the way, don't want to forget before I sign off here. Sorry about this. Just want to say one more thing, ladies and gentlemen. Happy birthday, Mom, because I know it's my mom's birthday today. So happy birthday, Mom, and I will talk to you all very soon. Good night, everybody.